So thankful for the guys that led this morning. You get a chance, you need to tell Trevor and Ben thank you, because I don't know how we could be blessed with two better people. And the congregation's full of them, but those are the two that I saw this morning and couldn't help but say that. So hope this day finds you well. It's been a good week. It's been a hot week, but I'm ready for a little cooler week this week. And I've been thinking a lot about this lesson. I had one kind of written down, sort of cut and pasted and on the tractor, and then I changed my mind and kind of redid it yesterday. So it's a different thing that I just kind of did yesterday. But I think it really spoke to me, and I hope it brings something to you. In 2007... there was a song that Casting Crowns released called Somewhere in the Middle. Don't know if you've heard it, but the words, they really speak to me, and they point to a lot of scriptures. So I'm going to read the words of the song, and then I'm going to try not to read it like I'm singing it, you know, because you don't want to hear that, trust me. But I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk about it. We'll point to some scripture and see what we can learn from it. So here are the words. Somewhere between the hot and the cold, somewhere between the new and the old, somewhere between who I am and who I used to be, somewhere in the middle, you'll find me. Somewhere between the wrong and the right, somewhere between the darkness and the light, somewhere between who I was and who you're making me, somewhere in the middle, you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end. We are caught in the middle, with eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for His, or are we caught in the middle? Are we caught in the middle? Somewhere between my heart and my hands, somewhere between my faith and my plans, somewhere between the safety of the boat and the crashing waves, somewhere between a whisper and a roar, somewhere between the altar and the door, somewhere between contented peace and always wanting more, somewhere in the middle, you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end. We are caught in the middle, with eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for His, or are we caught in the middle? So, have I truly forsaken all to follow Christ? Or have I accentuated my positive attributes and hung on to a few bad habits? Have I put His will above my own? Or have I taken the parts of His will that don't cost that much and pretended that's all He commanded? Have I feasted on His word and let it change me? Or have I nibbled on it and focused on the parts I'm comfortable with? I think these are things we need to think about. Things I need to think about. If y'all have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 19, and we'll look at verse 16. I know we've read this a lot, but let's read it again. This is talking about Jesus. Now behold, one came and said to Him, "Good teacher, what is a good thing that I shall do that I may inherit eternal life?" So He said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments." And He said, "Which ones?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to Him, "All these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We read this about the rich young ruler, and it's always prefaced that, you know, Jesus is not commanding this of us, and I think that's true. But Jesus knows people's hearts, and he knew this man's heart, and he knew that it wasn't right. And he asked him, and I want to ask us the question, what if Jesus asked us that question? What would you say? What would you do? Now, you can breathe a small sigh of relief. Jesus isn't answering that question, isn't asking you that question. But I'll ask you a few. Do we all have more than we need? Do we all have much more than we need? Do you know people less fortunate than you? Do you know people that are much less fortunate than you? Do you know people that are less fortunate than you in this very room that might need some help from time to time? I don't think any of us can do this perfectly, but I think that we can all do this better. Here's another really uncomfortable one. Turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. We're going to read about the church in Laodicea that Jesus talked to. They more than likely saw miracles. They should have been on fire for the Lord, but Jesus said to them, to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, and that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have no need of anything. And you do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and that you anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. You know, sometimes I feel lukewarm. I feel like I'm just checking a box. I don't pray like I should. I don't treat others like I should. I don't study like I should. I don't worship in the Spirit. I convince myself that I'm doing things correctly, so I'm okay. And that's not okay. Jesus commands all of us, not part, not the leftovers, not going along to get along. He wants, deserves, and commands our whole heart. Another example, Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies shall be those of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So parents, is there any lawful thing that you wouldn't do for your children? Jesus knows the answer. There's nothing I won't do for my kids. But what if your kids come between you and Jesus? What if your spouse comes between you and Jesus? What if your parents come between you and Jesus? Will you choose Jesus, or will you choose both? You see, Jesus has some really hard things to say. You can't choose both. If you try to, you betray Jesus. One more. Matthew chapter 12, just a couple pages over, 22 through 30. Then one who was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw, and all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? And now the Pharisees heard it and said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out the demons by Beelzebub, whom your judges, by whom your sons cast, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, you shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. He who is not with me is against me. That's pretty tough words if we think about it from Jesus. But you see, I can be 98% righteous and still do my favorite things wrong. You see, I can see my brother in need and ignore it this one time because I've had a hard week. I can see a person in the world struggling and know that God is the only thing that will help him. But I'm not going to share Jesus with them because they wouldn't listen anyway. Or they might get angry. Or they might make fun of me. There are no 98% Christians. That's what Jesus said. Okay, so here's my words that I thought about from the song. And Trevor's going to lead a song for me here in a minute. And I think it's a really good song. But I think we use the words a little bit incorrectly. But the way the song uses them is good. But there are two words, surrender and submit. You see, every person that's ever existed will do one or the other. You can submit now, or you can surrender later. There's a difference. You see, people willingly submit, but they're forced to surrender. We can fully, completely, and wholly submit to Jesus Christ now, or we'll be forced to surrender to him on the day of judgment. Paul in Romans chapter 14 says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give us account before God." Every knee will bow, either in humble submission in this life or in terrible surrender in the life to come. Don't be somewhere in the middle. Don't be an apathetic Christian. Don't be a complacent Christian. You see, there really is no such thing. The middle might give you temporary comfort, but it will end in eternal punishment. But thanks be to God. He is mighty and gracious and loves you more than anyone ever could. In Hebrews 7:25, "Therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus stands ready to save and intercede for those who love him.